Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings. Welcome to Voice of Olympus. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And tonight we have a special Prosperity Quest episode. When we designed Prosperity Quest not too long ago, the idea was that all of us, regardless of who we are, could use some help in creating a much better life for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our communities. And community is a really broad term. So Prosperity Quest was started with that in mind, and we have been proceeding along those lines, and the show has been evolving and growing. Christine Evron has been a frequent guest from the Tenafly Chamber of Commerce, and she's been giving hints to new business owners, to entrepreneurs, and DC Russ from Aligned Mentality has been on the show quite a lot. And he's been sharing his M word for the day and for the past few times he's been on, the evolution of his book, The Winding Road to Freedom, which is now number 3 in entrepreneurial books on Amazon, and it just launched. And he will be offering you a way of getting that book for 99 cents while it's still available. I see Christine has joined us, so we're going to start with Christine first. Greetings, Christine. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. We're waiting for our guests to arrive, and you arrive first. So come in. Welcome. Would you like some coffee?
Oh, come on. I was waiting to listen to Ken for inspiration for what I was going to say.
Well,
but
you'll
that's
still
okay.
Ken, but you're an inspired individual, and you always find things to say. So we'll benefit from your personal inspiration rather than your secondhand inspiration.
Okay. Well, I have interesting news from the Rotary this week.
Okay.
We had a presentation for the folks at Bergen County that helped people get jobs. They came in with
a really nice
video on the benefits of hired disabled workers. The benefits included things like, of course, a very loyal, focused workforce that can perform jobs that your supposedly normal work staff can't really do very well. One of the amazing examples they gave was that they could place people who would fix the trays for operating rooms. You know how they line up the scalpel and the swabs and whatever doctors use for operations?
Yes.
That has to be done very precisely. And, of course, you do not want the doctor looking around for the swab or the needle or whatever he uses for his operation in the midst of the operation, so it has to be done right every time. They give some specially chosen disabled workers a picture of the tray, and they are able time and time after again to set it up perfectly.
Awesome.
Which, I don't know about you, but I couldn't do that. Oh, you're nuts.
Most of the time I can't either. my brain races all over the place over a very wide area, and it's hard to pin it down and focus to that extent. Are these the same folks that gave the presentation at the chamber not too long ago?
Yes. Yes, yes. It was actually the same presentation. And,
awesome.
They also mentioned, but I figured it didn't hurt to repeat it, they mentioned that when you do hire somebody disabled, not only do you get a worker that may be perfectly suited for some of your tasks, but if there are any problems, if they're having problems training him, if they don't quite seem to be fitting in, they're very aggressive about coming in and working with the worker to help him understand what's expected. And if it just can't work, they very easily find somebody else that's a better fit. And they're just very committed to getting people placed. That's a nice benefit in Bergen County.
I enjoyed their presentation when I heard it at the chamber, and it sounds like they've expanded on it for the Rotary. I was thinking of asking them to come speak to the Access for All committee as well.
Yes, they mentioned that to the mayor. They're very anxious to get this message out because you never know when someone may have a suitable job for one of the people they're trying to place.
Well, it's great that we have a society that actually focuses on creating opportunities for people. And this is a really good thing because they're taking something that needs to be done and needs a certain type of focus, a certain type of concentration to do it. And it sounds like the people that they're preparing for these jobs have that type of focus and concentration. So it's an awesome thing.
It's always good when they play to people's strengths.
Yes, most definitely so.
Yeah.
Yes, I
go ahead.
I was going to say, I just found that all very inspiring.
Yeah, I find it very inspiring as well.
So that's what's going on with the Rotary. Rotary is getting ready for American Express's Small Business Saturday.
Tell me about that.
American Express, I don't even know how many years ago, came up with a concept of helping the small businesses to attract people after they spend Black Friday at the malls. They came up with the idea of spending Saturday going to your local businesses and seeing what kinds of specials they would be offering. And they've done things in past years like offer discounts. But what they do on the business side, offer discounts on the use of their credit card to their customers. But on the business side, they've been offering things like free doormats to all the small businesses participating so that they're all branded as Working with Small Business Saturday. They've given us canvas bags to give out to the businesses for them to give to their clients. We have various balloons and pens and other giveaways that we sometimes distribute. Sometimes we hold on to them for community night. But in general, it's a great concept to go to your small businesses all the week of Thanksgiving, not just Saturday, and try and help them out. And as an added bonus this year, they have just figured out if you don't drive all the way to the mall, you can save a square foot of Arctic ice melting. Now, I was trying to get the precise number, but for every 80 miles that you drive, you basically melt a square foot of Arctic ice.
Oof.
Have you seen the photos of how much of the ice has melted? It's frightening.
Oh, yeah. No, the polar bears are history. Yes, I have seen them. They have now shown that there's a very direct correlation with your driving and the amount of ice that is actually melting in this year.
Mm.
So if you can cut out, say, 5 trips to the mall, you've saved a square foot of ice, Arctic ice.
Wow.
Just think about that every time you want to get in the car to go on either a long trip or a short trip. Can you batch it? Can you go to a closer source?
That's it's a frightening thing, but at least we know about that, and that is a valid way of approaching the problem, because a lot of people feel powerless, like there's nothing they can do, and here is something small that anybody can do, and the very fact that you're giving people the power to make that decision, that's an awesome thing, but it is frightening how much of the ice has melted.
Yeah, and they're saying, this is apparently written up in Science, the journal Science. They're saying that approximately, the average American melts up nearly 50 square meters a year. Each meter is 32 square feet. That's a lot.
Per person?
Per person, yes.
Oh.
So what happens, Christina?
Turn off the light switch.
What happens, Christina? We're going to be underwater soon?
Parts in New Jersey will. Tenafly, definitely.
No, Tenafly's pretty high up. Tenafly's a good place to be. We're 50 feet above sea level.
Yeah, I thought we're too close to the ocean.
No, we're close to the ocean, but we're in the back of the Palisades.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice, big, huge cliff that we're on top of. We're in good shape. We can laugh at those people down in Hoboken, but more likely we're going to welcome them to live with us.
Yeah, probably.
And then we're going to have events at the beach.
No, in general, the Northeast is in pretty good shape if all the ice melts. Worst case scenario is supposed to be a rise of 19 feet. That's the That'll flood Lower Manhattan. It'll flood Atlantic City. We'll have to move the casinos then. But it'll flood about half of Florida. So we're in a lot better shape.
Well, I saw one map, and it's like most of Florida, Louisiana, parts of Texas, around the Gulf especially, they were gone.
Oh, yeah. A lot of that area is very close to sea level.
I saw something interesting, too, that some of the Scandinavian countries, people are saying, because all the fjords and all the water, they're going to be underwater. But actually, the glaciers were kind of pushing the land down. So as the weight is lifting, the land is actually springing up. So they actually might be in fairly good shape.
Yeah, but that's 3 inches versus 19 feet.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. We put it that way.
So, what other things can we do to slow this process down or turn it around? Because it sounds like at this point, very few people are disputing that climate change is a reality that's upon us. So, other than changing our driving habits and our shopping habits, what other things can we do to maintain the world pretty much the way it is and the way we've known it?
There are typical lists. You look at your temperature in your house. Try and be about 3 more degrees uncomfortable. Put on a sweater if it's cold outside. Keep your house a little bit cooler. If it's hot outside, make your house a little bit hotter. Don't run the air conditioning as much. Ask if you really, really need an air conditioning, or can you maybe just open a window? Don't run the dishwasher empty or not completely full. Don't run your clothes washer with partial loads.
Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, with a dryer, you don't want to overfill your dryer.
Well, remember we used to have clotheslines? Yeah, a lot of times I don't like people having clotheslines anymore.
No, Tenafly doesn't like clotheslines, but I don't know that they're enforcing it either. There's nothing to stop you putting up a clothesline in an area that is screened from your neighbors. nobody wants to look at your underwear floating in the wind. But if you have nice trees blocking the view, no one cares.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so, it wouldn't be good for one.
No, it just is. It can be done. You just want to be conscious of inflicting what you're doing on your neighbors.
Yeah, I wouldn't want them to scar them for life looking at my underwear.
what else can you do?
I'm not scarred for life.
Too much information, honey.
bicycling instead of... This is hard in Tenafly because we are on the back of the Palisades and we have lots of steep hills and we have lots of sun glare, which makes
the
roads a little bit dangerous.
I like that bike trail idea for where the old railroad tracks are. I think that would be really good.
I like that idea as well.
Oh, we're working on that. There, someone just heard the idea and wants to petition Bergen County to do a study, which is kind of in the middle of what you need to do. But the fact that people are talking about it is wonderful.
And Tenafly is a very active place. I know when I was focusing on Fitness Quest, there are people jogging throughout Tenafly. There are people riding bikes. There are people who are engaged in all sorts of activities going round and round the track. There's a couple of weightlifting gyms. There's all sorts of places you can go in Tenafly where you can get in shape and where you can exercise. And I walk a lot throughout Tenafly. So I'm always strolling around. And when we get visitors, I take them strolling with me and take them on guided tours of Tenafly and weave my dreams for the future. But Tenafly is an awesome place to walk around and to experience in that way.
Well, I see at least three people every morning when our son's waiting for the bus. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning and they're power walking past the house. All sorts of weather.
Well, you're lucky you have sidewalks, which makes it very safe in your area.
Yeah.
Just like to remind everybody, when you go out power walking or even just regular walking or pushing a baby carriage, walk into traffic. Face the traffic. If they are suddenly blinded, you will be able to see that you need to dive to the side of the road.
Right.
If you're bicycling, bicycle on the same side of traffic. Unfortunately, somebody was killed just
recently,
2 weeks ago now.
Don't wear dark clothing and wear some sort of reflectors if you're going to go out because it makes it easier for motorists to see you. I know when we're driving around at night sometimes, people are wearing dark hoodies and walking in the road. So it's very hard to see them. You have to be very, very alert. You also have to be very, very alert for deer, which are likely to dart out at the most unexpected time. And they're rarely, if ever, alone. Usually if one deer is bounding out, you're going to have several of them following them.
Yeah.
So if you're running, be
very aware if you see a dead evidence of, say, a squirrel in the road. Don't swerve out into the road unless you're very aware who is coming at you.
Yes. We've heard many instances of people getting killed and killing others while trying to avoid a squirrel or a bunny or something that happens to be moving across the road.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and if you have a teenage driver, make sure they understand that if Bambi runs in front of them, they should not swerve into the telephone pole to avoid Bambi. A lot of kids, especially, who are inexperienced drivers, kill themselves trying to avoid a deer. Hitting a 200-pound deer or a 300-pound deer, the deer will go flying and the child will survive. Hitting a telephone pole is a lot harder to survive. Boy, are we cheerful today.
I know, I was
just thinking that. It's like, okay.
Well, let's cast rather gloom over the evening.
So let's salvage this. You always have helpful tips for entrepreneurs, for small business people, for folks who are considering opening up their own business. So what is your success tip for the day?
Oh, this has to do with voting.
Okay.
You keep firmly in mind, but it's not necessarily voting, but people are very passionate this election season. Next week, they're going to be very passionate about something else that you might be thought to also have an opinion on. When you're functioning as a business owner, do not express your personal opinions. Business owners, the successful business owners generally quickly agree and move on to serve whatever their client needs, whether it be a sandwich or gets them the item that they are looking for. You don't want to get involved in long philosophical discussions with one client, because although you may be perfectly in tune with the client you're talking to, the client that's coming through the door may have totally an opposite view, and you don't want to make them feel unwelcome. So it's just better not to have any kind of controversial discussions with your clients.
I find that that helps also on social media as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fortunately managed to avoid, what do you call it, on my Facebook timeline. And I have very strong opinions about the election, just like almost everybody else. But people with very diverse opinions come there and visit. And I try to make everybody welcome. And whatever opinion they hold, as long as we all understand that this is our opinion, that's okay. But the moment somebody starts beating people up with their opinion, I will let them know that that's not allowed. And if they choose not to respect that, I will very quietly remove them from the area, because it really doesn't pay. As you've said on many occasions, we have to think what brings us together rather than what makes us different from one another. So I'm of the same mind and try to maintain that as often as I can.
Definitely. I mean, it's almost watching from the outside when there is, again, a passionate question in town. Shopkeepers will go, which is not necessarily agreeing or disagreeing. It's more of an I hear you sound.
Mm-hmm.
But two different people could come out of the shop thinking that that shop owner is totally in tune with them, which is not the shop owner being dishonest. He is trying to be welcoming. It's an important point to get clear in your mind.
Being diplomatic.
Being diplomatic and acknowledging that you hear their argument is not the same as agreeing with them. And you do not have to do that. You don't have to disagree. And it is not to your advantage to do that when you are in a service capacity as a shop owner. I'm not sure what role it is to your advantage.
What the opinion is and where you stand on a particular issue.
But has Ken turned up, or do we get to talk about more things?
Ken is not here yet. He shared that he was going to be on the show, and we communicated privately, but he didn't make it here yet, so I hope he's okay.
Well, I have something.
Oh.
Because it's Prosperity Quest, what does prosperity mean to different people? Because it could, a lot of people think, prosperity, money right away. Not necessarily. I think there's other things that you could feel prosperous about, like even satisfaction with your life is a form of prosperity because you feel enriched by what you're doing. Say you're an artist and you have a chance to draw. It'd be great if you could sell your art, but some people just like the creative process. That's a kind of form of prosperity too, because you feel enriched by what you're doing.
That's the key word, feeling enriched. I am phenomenally rich in very many ways. And there are other, spheres in my life where I'm still plugging away at it. but it's the feeling of satisfaction that I carry with me much of the time that makes me feel enriched. And I found, and again, Christine, you might have found something different, but what I found is that once I could rule everything out and I'm down to like one specific thing or person or, you know, whatever, and that's clearly the best in my life, then in that area, I'm richer than anybody in the world. So I found a wonderful wife who's perfect for me, and I am blessed exceedingly in that area. So I'm richer than anybody on the planet. And also my my archetypal type of activities. I found the archetype that I'm most resonant with, and I've spent most of my life finding ways of expressing that archetype, some of them very successful. And that provides a level of satisfaction that I can't even begin to describe. So in terms of fulfillment, I count myself among the richest people in the solar system, if not the galaxy. So how do you define enrichment and success and prosperity?
In many ways, it's exactly the same. I've been very fortunate. I mean, I have a huge service component to what I value in life and what I get out of life. And I've found when that's true, people almost fall over. If you're doing it with, I would say veracity, but that's not the right word.
Enthusiasm?
When you're truly out to serve the other person, not to soak your own ego as they look at me, how important I am.
Altruism?
Doing this function for the, you know, if you're truly doing that in a sense of altruism, that people turn around and respond, and not only are you spiritually rich, you also tend to become financially rich too, if, or at least not rich, have all the money that you really need.
And it does help too to share things with others, because that does enrich you. I have a joke that I do quite often with people that I call pagan mitzvahs, that you just go out and just do a random act of kindness for somebody. It doesn't have to be for any particular reason, but you do feel good having done that for somebody. You could bring a smile to somebody's face. You can just like take their mind off their troubles for a minute. Just show a kindness to somebody. And that enriches both them and you quite a bit.
Yeah, I find that on Facebook. My page obviously is about me, and I do promote the things I'm doing. But most of the time, it isn't about me at all. You know, I enjoy blessing people, and through the pokes, helping people participate in this blessing process. And I try to post encouraging notes on there and empowering statements. Just to spread this joy that I feel all the time in that particular area of my life. And I feel that that makes me feel very rich. The fact that people play along and we're spreading blessings and people are praying for other people that they don't know. It's a wondrous thing. And I was very fortunate to be able to do that on Facebook.
It's also true that the magnitude of it is not terribly important. The fact you're going around doing small acts of kindness in the day can be just as enriching as the person who sets up vast foundations and impacts thousands. In terms of personal reward, they can be equal. You don't have to be the person that builds the greatest foundation.
And there are plenty of service organizations. If you can't do it alone or want to do it with other people, I mean, the Rotary is an excellent service organization. There are many others, and there are religious organizations and meditation organizations and clubs. I know even with Starfleet, when we were more involved with the Star Trek stuff, there were blood drives and clothing donations, and they're still doing that as part of their play. So humanity has found many ways of indulging themselves in something creative, in something fun, in something fulfilling, and at the same time helping other people. When we were in Pennsylvania, and if you think we stand out here, we really stood out in rural Pennsylvania. We had all sorts of, we were working with churches to get people like coats and blankets in the middle of the winter. And we got Viking bikers and Celtic druids and all sorts of people involved in this, helping people stay warm during the cold weather, and that was very, very fulfilling, but also very unusual. But
they didn't know what to make of us. I mean, they weren't too sure of us at first, but after a while they got to realize we were good people. But the running joke was, yes, I'm wearing all black, but I'm not Amish.
Halfway point in the show, we're going to put on some music. Because I'm Greek, it has to have something to do with being Greek. So we picked Becca Kelso's Odyssey, which I don't think is about the Odyssey at all. But anyway,
I don't think she's Greek either.
we're going to go to break, and we'll talk, and we'll be right back in a few moments. Thank you very much, Christine. I'll put you in the quiet room.
Thank you.
Just in my head, imagine it's right there in plain sight. There's no way I could have known it would come as such a big carry on. Till faded, foggy days, the half left on it. Had to fight. Ooh, and stayed alone.
National Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, this is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And this is Voice of Olympus on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And we are talking to our good friend, Christine Evron, the president of the Tenafly Chamber of Commerce and vice president of the Tenafly Rotary Club. Welcome back, Christine.
Hello, I'm back.
It's good to have you back. I was thinking about what we were talking about before the break. And one of the things that is filling me with lots of joy recently is I think this is the most ambitious thing I've ever tried to do in my life, what I'm currently pulling together. In some ways it's moving slower than I'd like. In other ways it's moving so fast that I could barely keep up with it. But you can't really control the timeline, as Bill Gates has pointed out many times. So just got to be there and try to do the best you can with shaping future events. But my recent, explorations have brought me in contact with people that I've worked with before on past explorations, and working with them again has filled me with a sense of phenomenal joy and enrichment. And these are folks that I used to interact with to get authors for interviews or to review books or something related to the journey. And interacting with them again on a regular basis, even though our interactions are very short, kind of makes my soul sing. And then I thought back on other things I had done throughout my life, and that was always a major plus on any of the journeys, whether they were in rehabilitation and education and human services or, whatever I happened to be doing, finding kindred souls who were in the same niche kind of, and then interacting with them, that added a whole new dimension of awesomeness to whatever it was I was doing.
It's true that connection to others is really important.
Go ahead.
I was with friends the other day, and we were just discussing how lucky when we were younger that we had such a large circle of similar friends to really find the people that we fit with. I worry a little bit with everybody on Facebook and whatever that they're not developing the in-person connections that they need, but maybe these connections will also work. We'll have to see.
Some of them have led to, we've met people that we originally met on Facebook, and so far they've been pretty wonderful. The amount of people that we've met is actually quite small, but we've gotten into, some of them we know very well on the phone now, although they live far away and we haven't connected in that way, and they've become phone friends, and that's pretty awesome. And then some people, I just know them through their posts, but they contribute very much to my daily life, and they're a very welcome part of it and a very positive part of it, a very insightful part of it. So even though these are Facebook friends, they're still friends through the forum that's there to communicate through.
I think something like that is going to take a longer time to work itself out. In the past, you could always count on your friends in times of horrendous trouble. Is that going to be true with a Facebook friend?
Well, I found out that for community, when you have a problem or something, sometimes it's just nice that your friends acknowledge it. Even if they put this stupid little sad face on there or something like that, you know that someone's commiserating with you. I've seen people be wonderfully, wonderfully supportive to their Facebook friends. I know I've reached out to people that are on Facebook that have been really hurting sometimes, and I'll private message them or do what I can to offer whatever comfort I have. I can possibly get them. It's just a different way of communication. I think more and more our younger people are, that's how they're interacting with each other. They come from a time where, yeah, we came before television, some of us here. Yeah, and I remember when I was just a little girl, we were the first one on the block with a color television.
During that time, if somebody had problems, everybody brought over casseroles, for instance.
Right. With Facebook, because a lot of people feel isolated and feel very alone, like, for instance, with the prayer requests, people send me prayer requests through the private messages. I rewrite what they say and take out, you know, identification things unless they've asked to be identified. And then I post them, and total strangers to the person or their Facebook friends, you know, pray for them or say supportive type of things. And the feedback that I get in other private messages or sometimes even in public posts is that during a very difficult time when you feel very much alone and you're isolated, the fact that people were willing to do that for you means a lot. So this is an evolving medium, as you said, and I think it'll take a while before it's found its true voice. But it seems, in addition to some of the negatives that people have pointed out, it seems to have a lot of positives.
It's a really good way to network, too. On a personal note, when my brother passed away, and I didn't know all his friends. I had some people that I knew on Facebook, too, that knew other people. Through Facebook and GoFundMe, there was such an outpouring for my brother who had passed away that everybody came and helped. If they didn't have money to send to the GoFundMe, they offered me their condolences, their sympathies. They talked about Mark, and it was just overwhelming to me, just the amount of love I got on a computer, pretty much.
That is real. That part is really good.
And when we did the memorial service, now not everybody did computer, but they were able to reach to all his friends from his coworkers or places he worked, from the New York Renaissance Fair, theater people, all these people that he had touched their lives. That little church was packed, and a lot of it was because I was able to go on social media and do this outpouring, get this outpouring of affection from people, and it meant a lot to me and my family. It really did.
So there are a lot of positive aspects and ability to form these communities, and I'm finding even with my Olympianism that is unfolding through the social media, a lot of the people that I'm attracting to the page, a lot of people that I'm attracting to the e-radio show where we're having discussions now, they feel totally isolated. I mean, the Olympians are not a very big spiritual thing on our planet at this time, so it's very easy to feel isolated and alone if that's where your spiritual compass is pointing. But through the social media, when these communities aren't bickering with one another over interpretations of different things, the fact that there's a connection with other people who tend to view the universe in the same strange way that you view it is very reassuring.
And that's a part of prosperity, too, I think, is a feeling of community. And when you see people work a community, even if it's an online community, and help each other, volunteer for things, I think it enriches everybody. It really does. you know, you don't feel like you're alone. You feel like there's a connection with other human beings, that you're not isolated wherever you are. And I know people that are in chronic pain that, you know, they're just happy somebody's there for them.
I discovered that when I worked with people years ago in like with people who were ill or people who were chronically ill and they're not leaving from the bed, that at the end of life, what mattered was having good memories that you could share with someone, even if that someone was a stranger or a staff person assigned to you, not having regrets. I saw that having regrets like would eat you alive when you were stuck in that bed and you weren't getting up from it. And then having even one person, even if that person was, again, somebody who's paid to be there for you, visiting you and caring that you're alive, that's what riches are at the end of life when you're not getting up from the bed. So it had a very dramatic impact on me, and I try to live my life on those principles, to be nice to the people in my life and to let them know how I feel, to not have regrets if I can help it, and to try to create the best memories I can with what I'm doing.
It can be very helpful. I do think back to when I was young, when my father passed away. Everybody coming over to my house and just spending hours distracting me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I love that Athena said that they were able to sell the church through social media. I'm not sure sending, you know, a few words of condolence on Facebook is as good as being, as going over. It's better, obviously, than nothing. I just am worried that we are losing something.
We're losing that face-to-face. I call it like kind of a social autism. Now, a lot of times now that people don't pick up on social clues as much as they could just because they're not used to that face-to-face thing. And there's a whole different rules of I guess what I would call communication, whether you're on a computer or if you're talking face-to-face. And it's like a different language completely, what flies and what doesn't.
We have another visitor, so let me welcome them. Greetings and salutations.
Hello, Hercules. How are you?
Okay, DC, how are you? We have Christine on the line still.
Hi, DC.
And I am really impressed on how the Winding Road to Freedom has taken off. We were hearing about the evolution on the show, and I was greatly honored, and I remembered your pre-launch thoughts. You had said that it didn't matter what happened, you did this, and you're moving forward with it. And it seems to be moving forward awesomely.
Yeah, pretty well.
We're losing you.
Oh, I think we lost him.
We lost DC. Okay, we'll wait for him to call back. Did you follow Christine? He got 15 entrepreneurs who were successful to share their success secrets. And he didn't.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. He wrote this book, and again, he didn't know what would happen with it. It is doing really well. I think it's number 3 in entrepreneurial books on Amazon, it's kind of just taken off. And if you had faith in this early enough, you could get it free by joining one of his newsletters. And I think it's still up on Amazon for 99 cents for anybody who wants it. So hopefully we'll get him back on and you could tell us about that. But
yeah, I think Ken was experiencing some technical difficulties, or DC rather.
Yeah. So it's an awesome story. It's something we saw unfolding right in front of our very eyes or ears, actually. He's back?
Maybe.
Are you back?
I am back, yes. Sorry about that.
Awesome. If at first you don't succeed, keep on trying and you will, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Your voice sounds much firmer this time.
So tell us about this is an awesome thing. And again, we're greatly honored to have been here.
Hello, Hercules.
Can you hear us?
Yes, yes.
Okay, what do you call it? Share the tale with everybody.
Yeah, so I was given the idea to do a book collaboration, and I thought it would be fitting to do it around financial freedom. And it was a really tough journey. It challenged all of my deepest insecurities of worth and, you know, ability. And I pushed through, and I ended up finding 15 amazing entrepreneurs who have achieved financial freedom, and they each shared their story of how they got there in the book. And I was really impressed with the lineup and who I was able to get to do this. I actually had to reach out to over 310 people to find 15 people who said yes. So
wow.
It was about a little less than a 5% success rate, AKA a 95% failure rate. And so far in my journey, when I look back, I think I've failed way more often than I've succeeded, but just the few times that I did succeed were what really made all the difference. And so a lot of people are seeing that as a theme as well.
Uh-huh. And that's
so, yeah,
really
it was wonderful.
Most people give up if they fail once or twice, and they think that that's it. You know, I tried it, I failed, I give up. It's like, no, you got to keep failing. And each time you fail, you learn something or you get something out of the way that would have held you back. And eventually you get there.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, despite how much I believe that is true and how much that resonates with me, nevertheless, every time I fail something and I put a lot of effort into it, it still hurts really bad. And, you know, I guess it's just about pain tolerance to a certain degree.
That's true. So where does this journey go next? The book is a success. It's still available to people in the early stages. They can get it for 99 cents.
Yeah, it'll be a dollar for one more day. And then after that, the price will go up. And then we've got a number of people who actually subscribed to get the book for 99 cents. And also, we're getting some subscriptions now. I changed the opt-in page at windingroadtofreedom.com. And we're going to start giving people more free and even paid resources to help them catalyze and expedite their journey along financial freedom. So I've got a number of things in the works right now, one of which is a course to help people build their digital platforms, you know, websites, sales funnels, all of that sort of thing, because I feel like having that knowledge of the tools of succeeding online is, you know, an important step in today's world.
Oh, most certainly so.
So, yeah, I'm just going to give myself to creation in that regard and see what rewards I can reap from that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to provide a product to people that they can actually wrap their heads around, you know, getting started online. And you know, I'm sure it took you, you know, at least some time to figure out how to do the whole podcasting thing like that. That just didn't come overnight,
oh, yeah.
I would guess.
That took a while, and we're still learning from it. I mean, you know, I know that one day I'm going to look back on these shows and cringe. That's what happened when I had my TV show also. But it's part of the learning process. This is happening now. Now we're going to spin off a show, and we're going to learn more things doing that. And I have three other shows under development, and we started shooting some videos also. You have a great video, by the way, that you just did, and we'll get to that in a second. But it is. It's a process of failing until you succeed. It's a process of getting past the fear of not being able to do it perfect and just doing it. And
each
time you do it, you get better at it.
Yeah, and, you know, I totally agree with you. And, you know, I think it's just breathtakingly amazing how many people, you know, agree to that. How many people understand that now in today's world? And the word's getting out, you know, each and every day with the internet. More and more people are starting to understand, you know, you just got to not be afraid to fail and don't worry about getting it perfect. Just go out there and do it and be ready to fail and learn from it. So it's an exciting time to be alive. It really is.
It certainly is. I learned that lesson when I had my television show. My television show started by my declaring one day that I wanted to have a television show. And because back then, you know, there were a lot of things you needed to do. I didn't know how to even begin. So I got a notebook, and every day I would write what I wanted to do on my television show. And a year later, I was invited to be on a television show because I'd written an article about UFO aliens. So somebody read it and wanted me to be on the show. So they called me to come in. And what happened was her television show partner was picked up by Jenny Jones. I don't know if you remember the Jenny Jones show.
Yeah,
but,
She
all of a sudden had nobody to co-host with. So she asked me, can you co-host the show? And she didn't ask me if I'd done it before, because then I would have said, no, I've never done this before. But could I do it? Of course I can do it. So I said, yes, I can do it. So there you go. My first time on TV, and I was the co-host of a show that had been spoofed on Saturday Night Live. From there, I made myself available to any show. And because I've done a lot of things, I could talk about 40 or 50 topics off the top of my head. So if you needed me for anything, a political commentary, for ancient history, for a love connection type show, I made myself available. And before you know it, I was on a lot of shows. And then they merged stations, and they were getting rid of a lot of shows. So they asked to speak with me. And I'm wondering, what do they want to speak with me for? I just appear all over the place. I don't have a show. But they got rid of all these shows that I was on. And when they spoke with me, they asked me how I'd like to have my own show, because they said I was very different. And obviously, I was very knowledgeable. So that notebook I've been writing stuff in for quite a while, I knew what I would do if I had a show. So I was able to pitch it on the spot. And they loved it. And boom, I had my show. And then I had to figure out how to make it pay for itself and how to pay for airtime and how to get commercials and all this other stuff. And I did. And by the time September 11th came around, which kind of destroyed everything in one fell swoop, they were shooting a pilot on PBS in Jersey that was focused on me. And my show is the number one show on the UHF station. It was doing really well on the local cable. So again, it started with an idea and a willingness to proceed regardless of the fact that you don't know how it's going to happen and that you don't even know really what you're doing. As long as you know what you want, something will happen.
Yes, absolutely. That's a beautiful story, Hercules. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd love to delve more into that when at some point and really get the gist of what your show was all about. That sounds really fascinating.
When I'm massively successful, I will be one of the people who you talk to in one of the further editions of your book.
Okay, sounds great. Well, that's awesome. Hey, I have real quick here. I thought it would be good for your listeners. I have from each of the 15 co-authors, there's one tip, one very quick tip for aspiring entrepreneurs. Would you mind if I rattled those off really quickly?
No, please do so.
Okay. I'll just really quickly. The first one is follow your heart, do what you love. The second one is just start and don't give up. Number three, today's circumstances are irrelevant to tomorrow's. Number four, resistance strengthens you, so embrace challenges. Number five, don't be afraid to throw everything away and reinvent. Number six, free and lean is better than caged and rich. Number seven, each mistake has a goldmine of learning opportunity. Number eight, you can make money from your interests and experiences. Number nine, every lifestyle comes with its ups and downs. Number 10, bliss and riches can rise out of the ashes of Great Depression. Number 11, you'll never be there, so just enjoy the ride. Number 12, success is in the opposite direction you were told to go. Number 13, opportunity usually comes in small packages. Number 14, financial freedom is not about money. And number 15, out of the comfort zone is where the magic happens.
Very awesome. I actually have a copy of the book, and I'm going to be reviewing it. Now I'm stoked to, review it even faster, because that's excellent advice and information.
Oh, you'll love it. The stories in there are just so captivating. I thought I was going to get some good material, but it blew me out of the water, just how much gold is in that book. So I'm really, hats off to all of the amazing entrepreneurs who contributed. It's just a beautiful production.
So why don't you let people know how they can get in contact with you and how they can purchase this book while it's still 99 cents?
Just go to windingroadtofreedom.com, or you can go on Amazon and search for Winding Road to Freedom. And it will be there, and it'll be 99 cents pretty much all day tomorrow, and then it goes up to $2.99. So grab it while it's hot.
And that's still a very reasonable price, for the Winding Road to Freedom.
Yeah, and I had a number of requests to make it a paperback, so I think I'm going to do that too. And I would just love to hold a physical copy of it in my hands, you know, just as a reminder of the fact that I was able to push myself out of my comfort zone and do something I didn't think I could do.
And again, we're very honored to have been part of that journey here on the show, because, you know, you talked about it several times and you talked about it pre-launch. So I'm really glad that it succeeded, and I hope it sees even greater success in the days to come.
Yeah, that's right. I hope so, too. Yeah. And I actually, at the end of the book, there's the story that I snuck in there of what it was like to produce that book for me and all the challenges I had to overcome. So that's an important thing as well. So I'm proud of it. And I'm proud of myself. And whatever happens from here is as good with me.
And I know you well enough to know that there will be something new on the horizon that brings you even further down the road.
Yeah, we'll keep on moving together, Hercules.
Before we go, do you have an M-word for the day to share with folks? You made a video of it.
Yeah, I actually made a video of it this time. That was a lot of fun. And I guess that's on my blog. Yeah, I put that on my blog, Align Mentality. But I can just go ahead and read it real quick. It'll take about a minute and a half.
That'll be awesome.
All right. Today's Monday M-word of the day was meander. When you choose a life of choice, you choose a life of freedom. Everyone is capable of achieving this freedom, but far too many of us simply meander from day to day, week to week, year to year. The hardest form of failure is one in which there was never a goal. It's a whole lot easier to fail when you're committed to a goal. You quickly begin to think of failures as stepping stones to success. There are only two true forms of failure, giving up and never starting. When you meander, you're doing both. One who meanders is one who never chooses to begin their life of choice. They have given up in the sense that they have relinquished their power to choose a life of choice. Meandering is the most vicious form of failure. It creeps up behind you slowly while you watch your favorite television shows. It lurks quietly in the shadows, ready to taunt you with another miserable Monday of mediocrity. It hides just out of sight for years, decades even, until one day it descends upon you like a thief in the night, haunting you with regret over the days you'll never get back. If you don't think it's coming, think again. The curse of a meandering soul is upon all those who choose not to choose. And that's today's Monday M word of the day.
Wow, very powerfully said.
Yeah, and very fitting from the last conversation just prior to mine. You know, you said it best about how that regret on people's deathbeds just eats them alive. I can't even imagine what that must be like. I can't even imagine that. It must be horrible.
Yeah, it must be. It shocked me into changing my life right there and then after being exposed to it for a while, because it's like, you know, okay, I'm going to make mistakes. Not everything's going to turn out the way I'd like it to turn out. But as long as I know I've tried my best to make it happen, and as long as I know to communicate to people what I really mean to say, and as long as I know to jump on an opportunity if it presents itself and see where it takes me, and to have that vision in my mind of what it is I would like my life to be, then like you said, it's a journey, and the journey is very satisfying. It's sometimes scary. It's very easy to get lost, but still it's the only thing that gives life true meaning.
That's beautiful, Hercules. Well said. And my friend, I would venture to say that your last breath is going to be a peaceful one as you exit this world into the next. I think you've done a remarkable service here to the world. And, I don't think you're going to suffer from that regret.
Well, thank you very much. That's an awesome thing to say, and I greatly appreciate your words, because I respect you and your words mean a lot to me.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Hercules, very much.
So thank you for blessing us with the information that you shared, and I will talk to you by email probably several times before the next Prosperity Quest, and I look forward to talking to you then. Thanks a lot, DC. I wish you all the best. You're an awesome individual. You're sharing your journey, and you're helping light the fire under people's butts so they can take their own journeys, and that's phenomenally incredible.
Certainly. Thank you, and thank you for all that you do, and I appreciate you having me on the show once again. I can't wait until the next time.
I was going to bring Christine into the conversation, but she seems to have left us. So, Christine, wherever you are, thank you for being part of the show, too. You're awesome. Everyone, thanks for joining us. I wish you all a wonderful evening and many happy adventures. Take care. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And DC Russ, who's still here, signing off.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.